I don't like that term.
Yeah.
I don't use that term, even though that's what most people use. And that's what the USDA and the term the United States uses, food desert. But I like the word food apartheid. I think that's more fitting. Deserts are nice. We need deserts. Life can live in deserts. There's a lot of life in deserts. This is a systematic structure to create dependency on big factories, big farms.
Welcome to Tangled Taproot, where we explore the unique stories of small-scale farmers in the Midwest. I am Jackson.
I'm John.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is a production of Milk and Hummus.
Hey, what's Milk and Hummus?
We bake flavorful hummus and ready-to-drink plant-based lattes that focus on locally sourced ingredients, sustainable packaging, and the humble chickpea.
That sounds great. Where can I get those chickpeas?
You can get us online, girl.
Today in this episode, we talk with Antoine Adams and Mina Aria of New Roots Urban Farm, located in North St. Louis. And they are a neighborhood urban farm making an impact in its local community and neighborhood.
You guys both got to go see this farm, right?
We did.
Yes.
I am so jealous of the bunnies. Did you hold the bunnies?
Yes, we have photographic evidence of the soft, fuzzy bunny holding
that
therapy
is so cute.
Experience.
Yeah, it is really therapeutic, I have to say. And they do offer a lot of outreach and programs in the community for those who have not had the experience to see a duck or a chicken or rabbit in person.
Yeah. One of the things that really stood out to me listening to this interview was just the focus on community. You know, like he's a community guy. He's from that neighborhood and he wanted to kind of like, you know, do something for that neighborhood. And so here he is. And this is completely volunteer based. And so they're just trying to find people to help, you know, to teach. It's also educational because he's teaching people how to grow their own food, which I think is just admirable. Just trying to make a difference in his neighborhood.
And even whatever might not walk out of the farm or the garden with people as far as knowledge, they're able to give away and share all of the things that they're growing there, which is an assortment of vegetables, and they also have eggs and such. So they're also providing empowerment and nutrition by sharing their excess and really not charging anything for it.
Yeah, that was something that I wasn't sure after listening to the interview, but you guys were there. So is it like pay what you can kind of thing?
Yeah, there's different models, I would say, but definitely they have very flavorful produce. I know I tried their mustard greens and they were extremely spicy.
Yeah.
But it's sort of a pay it forward. I mean, I think Antoine, growing up, he was fortunate enough to learn a little bit of gardening from his Catholic school, I believe.
Yeah, I believe so.
And so he's really trying to bring that full circle to the next generation and actually just, you know, neighbors in the community and people to familiarize themselves with growing produce, fresh produce, just being able to shop and supply, feed their families. I think the situation where they're located actually is actually really unique to the area.
He said he's got like about a city block worth of a farm. How does that look? You guys were there. What is it?
Well, they'll be acquiring a city block. The farm that we visited is like a third acre plot. Correct. But the big news that he kind of shared with us while we were there was that they have some sort of grant or funding went through where they'll be breaking ground and building new garden beds and composting
awesome.
And maybe even like a neighborhood grocery store, probably with, you know, consciously affordable pricing, sliding scale.
And they have some really big ideas, both Mina and Antoine, when it comes to, you know, social justice and social equity. And we'll dive into it, though they'll dive into it in the interview. But we definitely liked understanding the word or the phrase social food apartheid as opposed to food desert.
And interestingly, the garden or the farm has roots in a garden startup, which Antoine explains as being part of an, you know, sort of anarchy resistance group.
Yeah.
Set up. So, you know, it's kind of rooted in that, which kind of fuels that sustainability and then just empowerment by providing food. You know, you
right.
are That's... stronger and more enabled if you have a food source. If your reliance on food coming from outside the community in, or where is the nearest grocery store, or, you know, that's
right.
something that.
And that's so badass. I mean, you know, having this group come in to this neighborhood, and obviously they had good intentions. They weren't necessarily successful just because, as Antoine puts it, they didn't like know the intricacies of that neighborhood specifically. But I just think it's so badass. I mean, it's like, hey, like, we don't like the food process and we don't like the way that things are being handled. So we're going to get in here and we're going to teach people, or we're going to like do it ourselves, you know,
yeah.
which I think is the main point of Antoine. He really stressed that, like, being able to teach that neighborhood how to grow food for themselves.
Yeah. It's an empowerment program, really. It uplifts and educates, and yeah, they're really fostering a lot of relationships. I think by being so welcoming, you know, he said, oh, we're open for volunteers, you know, on Tuesdays and Saturdays. But he's like, pretty much whenever we unlock the gate, people start coming in.
That's awesome.
To yeah. take what they need or ask questions or maybe assist with some weeding or compost bin turning over or whatever.
Yeah. Also really quick, there was I think he said like down the street, there was that like, did he call it a prison?
Yeah, like a youth prison. Yeah, they're all
a juvenile detention center for like 11 to 20 year olds.
Yeah.
And he really emphasized seeing these tough guys just like melt as putty when they have a bunny in their hand. The cuddle therapy,
it works.
It really does. I loved it.
Yeah. And not just that, but he talked about how they were also, you know, setting up compost bins over at the facility
yeah.
too. So there can be a relationship developing there as far as, you know, food scraps that can go to their ducks and chickens, and then dirt can come back, and kids at the detention center can also learn some basic skills about soil and gardening, and watching a seed turn into a seedling is a really exciting
yeah,
thing
absolutely.
To watch and can inspire.
Yeah. I mean, we freak out over, you know, chickpeas doubling and tripling in size. Imagine seeing a seed grow the roots. That's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, in that realm of mental health that mm-hmm. Antoine references a few times, and
yeah,
being out in the sunshine,
getting your hands in the soil,
yes, being able to touch dirt. There's all sorts of studies that kind of echo the benefits of outside time and gardening.
And he's doing it. He's doing it for the community. He couldn't stress that enough. He's doing
That's
it for
true.
His neighborhood. He's got so much neighborhood pride. And I love that.
Yeah. And the again, what they grow is quite flavorful, unique, and pretty to look at. And so I'm happy to dive into this interview here. All right. Cool. Great. Well, thanks for having us out. If you could just give a quick introduction on who you are, and we can start from there.
I'm Antoine Adams, co-director of New Roots Urban Farm. I was born and raised in this neighborhood. I've been working and living in this neighborhood for over 42 years now.
Hey, I'm Mina Aria, co-director of New Roots Urban Farm. This is my fourth season at New Roots Urban Farm. I was born in Oklahoma and moved up to St. Louis 12 years ago and got into farming. Antoine taught me everything I know and found my specific passion.
So what brought you to St. Louis?
I came here for college. I went to WashU, Washington University in St. Louis. And most folks move away after graduation, but I decided to stay. I had met a lot of folks off campus doing community organizing and didn't know what I was going to do, but I stayed. And a few years after that, I found my way to this farm, and Antoine took me in and said, hey, I'll let you apprentice under me, and hopefully I'll learn something from you as well. And here we are going into my fourth year on the project.
Okay. Sounds like a good partnership. Solid, built on education and all those great green things outside. What sorts of things do you have here on your property, and about how many feet or acres are we seeing, are we a part of right now? And what's the scope of what you grow and what do you have or what do you manage here?
Yep. So New Roots Urban Farm, this location is a little under a third of an acre. But recently, last year, we just signed a 10-year lease for 1.65 acres. So we excited to activate that space pretty soon. Here at this location, we always keep birds and bunnies. That's how we get people like you to come visit. A little clickbait. We have this thing where we always try to get people who come in to hold a chicken or hold a duck or hold a bunny. We feel like that's our form of cuddle therapy. We feel like that if you hold those small little critters, it melts your heart and you don't create any violence when you leave her. Now, we don't have anything to back up those numbers, but I have a little thing where you don't go out and hurt anybody after you leave, after you touch a bird or a bunny. Again, I don't have those numbers. I just, I believe they're true.
That sounds solid. Yes. What kind of vegetables do you like to grow or what grows best for you here?
Yeah, we try a wide variety of everything. I'm like that mad gardener scientist, so I try a little of everything. But our bread and butter is collard greens and mustard greens. That's what people in this neighborhood really want. But my favorite things to grow is carrots, radish, beets. Those things are, I found, simple to grow.
I love carrots.
Mm-hmm. A great rainbow kind. I love purple carrots.
Carrots are the way to my heart. What sort of challenges have you faced being a farm in a city, like an urban growing situation? Everybody has their own sort of fears and things that they're up against, but it's always a little different if you're in a city too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a Black farmer. I call it the red tapes and barriers that we face. It's many of them. Number one, funding. A host of political issues is mostly stems around funding projects like this. A lot of our produce that we grow go to low income, moderate families. And so we don't make a huge profit giving away our fruits and veggies. So it's tough to fund this project and keep it going on year after year after year. So I'll say probably funding is the biggest hurdle that we face.
Yeah. How are some ways that you've been able to navigate that? Have you been able to secure any grants or any sort of like city help with some of these projects?
Traditionally, we go after those private funders and individuals like you two, people who have a little flexibility with your salary where you can pay a little bit more for our fruit and veggies or spend some time here helping us grow. We heavily rely off of the college students and the community members to help us maintain the place. We don't pay each other a salary here, volunteer based only, so we really heavily rely off of people with a certain type of privilege that has the time to come in and help us grow or maintain the place. I'll leave it at that.
I would say we've found a lot of success in having avenues for people of all backgrounds, class levels to plug in, whether that's donating, whether that's donating their labor, coming to volunteer on one of our weekly work days, or making a connection to someone who has that flexible income, or making a connection that we don't even know where it's going to go, but it's opening doors that are going to get us to a place where we can really sustain this project year after year. We can focus on growing, focus on serving people in the neighborhood and beyond. So we really want to be open to everyone. And I think everyone comes to the table because they see themselves in that project, in this project, whether it's a way for them to get out to nature. We offer this safe space for folks to get in touch with their inner child, hold a bunny. A lot of folks come in and say, oh, I had a bunny when I was really little, or my grandparents stayed on a farm and they had bunnies and I haven't held a bunny in 40 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And
would you say a lot of the folks that come out are from your alma mater from WashU, or is there like a population from St. Louis University, or I guess there's a community college around here as well. There's a ton of schools, yeah. So when I was back living in Michigan, going to school, I was introduced by the local organic farm stand, and then from that farm stand, they talked about volunteering at the farm, which was off campus. Is that sort of a one way you guys introduce, I guess, students to a hands-on immersion into a sustainable farm that's an urban farm?
I like to say our bread and butter is the kids and the family from this neighborhood. Okay. Those are the ones that touch my heart, because I am that. I am a product of this neighborhood. But that's what's so cool about our farm. You just never know who's going to be here. So WashU student groups, service groups, volunteer groups, new and beginning farmers, you just really never know. Our volunteer days are Tuesdays and Saturdays, 12 to 6 p.m. You just really never know who's going to come in. And oftentimes, we hear not those Tuesdays and Saturday days. And as soon as the gates open, people walk in.
Okay. Neat. Yeah. So then mostly, I guess, when you're saying the neighborhood, are you saying like a mile radius? I mean, what would you say the reach would be, or a reach target?
I say all over St. Louis City, St. Okay. Louis County.
Yeah.
Folks from Illinois come over. Like I said, we really want to touch the people in this neighborhood, the low-income families, moderate family income level families in the neighborhood. But our farm does this, well, I think we do that, make it accessible to everybody. I don't want anybody to feel like there is no role here at New Roots Urban Farm. Even those big farmers with 200 acres that they have a lot of education and knowledge that smaller farmers in urban cities don't have. And so I always love partnering different groups together to pass along information faster. So sometimes you can come here and you see a group of 9-year-olds, and then the next day we have a group of 90-year-olds, black, white, all nationalities are welcome here.
Oh, that's really beautiful. And you're trying to really foster that stewardship earlier on, and then it's never too late to come out to learn and or reapproach farming. So besides the category of urban farming, as I understand it, land stewardship is a core focus for New Roots. What does that mean?
That's a loaded question. To make it simpler, I want to leave this space a little bit better than it was when I got here. I grew up in this neighborhood. These vacant lots been vacant for so long. They were so filled with old brick buildings, filled with bad, bad stuff. And I just get a sense of hope seeing people turn these green spaces into something thriving. It don't necessarily have to be a small farm, but anything to bring some kind of beautification or value to these green spaces in this neighborhood. This neighborhood could really use some love. It's been a part of a lot of bad things with extracting the resources from this neighborhood, taking it to other parts of the city. So I really want folks to think about investing in this area. It's a beautiful place. This area has long history of a lot of different nationalities coming here, living and working. At one point, not too long ago, but a few decades ago, this is where millionaires lived in this area. It's not the same anymore, but if you live and work in this neighborhood, you can see that something happening here where the goodness is coming back.
So there's environmental aspects, justice, social justice. This ethos originated from somewhere. Where did it for you, Antoine, and then also for you, Mina?
For me, land stewardship means taking agency, being intentional about our role as humans right now in whatever time we have here. A lot of the time, Antoine and I talk about it, and we're holding at every moment that we're passing through here on this earth. This land has been here through multiple iterations, multiple uses, not too long ago, this was and is still indigenous land. We don't know exactly what happened on this less than a third of an acre, but we know there's been violence on the land. There's been multiple waves of displacement. And so it's taking stock of where we are right now and where we're going, knowing where we've come, what this space has been through, and taking control of this small piece of land, not in a way to exploit or extract from it, but to regenerate it, give it life, give it love. It's environmental conservation and propagation and remediation, but it's, like you said, also social. And so we know the history of North St. Louis. It was intentionally disinvested from by city plans. The north side has got the bad end of the stick. You can see it clearly. We all know about the Del Mar Divide going from south to north. There's a drastic change in the landscape. Vacant lots.
For those that are maybe outside the St. Louis area, would you say that there was some well-known intentional, it's not gerrymandering, that's in politics, but redlining?
Urban planning. Redlining.
Yeah. And as I understand, I mean, even highways were built to divide different racial groups.
So there's the city and county divide. The highway was built so that folks could easily travel out of the city into the county. A lot of wealthier white families left the city. I don't know exactly what year that was, but I think it was before the 1950s.
Some urban flight similar to like Detroit's yeah. and other
and then,
major cities.
Exactly. And then within the city itself, there was this urban plan called the Team 4 plan that designated one area of the city for stabilization, one area of the city for investment, and one area for lack of a better way to say it, literally let it take care of itself, knowing what kind of impact that would have on the residents there, and knowing that that area was predominantly Black and low income. And so we saw the Central Weston area, which is the literally central and furthest west part of the city boundaries, get the most investment and is to this day the most affluent area. And the southern part of the city, South City, as we call it today, was identified as the stabilization area. So some investment, but the north side was just left out to dry. And Antoine grew up in the kind of aftermath of that. And now there's a lot of land speculation happening in our area and talk of new development. We actually have a new development right down the street, the National Geospatial Agency. There's a new economic justice action plan that the city has put out there, has a rubric for what kind of development comes to our area. But I just want to note that New Roots has been here in the past couple decades as these things are happening around us.
And in terms of having a sustainable, healthy community, agriculture should be top two things to consider. Eliminating the need for excessive processed foods, something that you could be proud of, that you can feed your family with.
Yeah, the ability to access nutrition and something that's fresh. And obviously, I know you all compost, so you're constantly amending your soil and improving that for microorganisms, and you've got maybe some nice bits of animal droppings to also enhance your soil too. So you're really, I feel like the sun shining in right now, but you're really enhancing and bringing light into this area by providing like a sense of food justice and provisions to a community here. And it's like really beautiful and inspiring to see and hear about. As far as the term food deserts go, does that hearken up anything that you want to speak about?
I don't like that term.
Yeah.
I don't use that term, even though that's what most people use. And that's what the USDA and the term the United States use is food desert. But I like the word food apartheid. I think that's more fitting. Deserts are nice. We need deserts. Life can live in deserts. There's a lot of life in deserts. This is a systematic structure to create dependency on big factories, big farms. And so just a little side note, this place is 20 plus years old. I'm in my 11th season here. This place was started by an anarchist group that was tired of the government role in the food systems or the lack thereof. And so they secured these vacant lots and decided to, in our mission statement, to teach these low-income people in this community how to grow their own food, how to engage in animal husbandry as an act of resistance to make them more sustainable. It was a great, noble mission statement, but a group really didn't know how to really connect well with the people in this community. So it was a great, noble thing. And I appreciate those group of farmers that created the space, because it led the path to a person that looked like me from this neighborhood to be the leader of this place. And I can carry on their mission. And I talked to a couple of them. They're proud of that, that they feel like that they did their job. And I really agree with them that they did their job. They kept this place going to have their first Black farmer a part of the place and the first Black farmer to lead this project with Mina Aria. So like I said out there to say, it was a great mission statement, but they had a little trouble with connecting the community, getting them really involved. It's really big about representation. A lot of these people in this neighborhood have been hurt and harmed by people that look like that original group. They had a very noble mission statement, but the way they identify, the way they look, kept people in the neighborhood with a little arm out, a little hesitant to join them. But like I said, they carried on this mission until one day a person that looked like me was able to get enough knowledge and enough confidence to be the leader of this place. And like I said, guys, when we open up that door, you'd be surprised who comes through the door. And one of those things that we give away a lot of produce, but if you like look around, you see a lot of other things that we give away. We give away clothes. One of the things that we give away the most is diapers and wipes for people in the community, toothbrush and toothpaste, any of those household needs that low income families really need to survive.
How do you get some of those supplies to have here?
I beg my friends. I beg organizations. I'm truthful to them. I tell them how
that you see needs, and this is something that we can apply.
And people in St. Louis,
as a community hub that you've become here in the neighborhood.
And St. Louis get a bad rap oftentimes because of the violence that we do have in the city. But St. Louis is a sweet, sweet place. Like, I've been here for 42 years and I would never live anywhere else. Like, people in organizations in St. Louis are sweet, and they always willing to give something if they have it, or at least point me to the direction where I can go X.
That's excellent. You're talking about kind of the initial first phase of this land and the farming intents and the intentions that maybe weren't exactly met. How have you been able to like spread your awareness that you're here, and how have you been able to plug in with your neighbors and neighboring community to let folks know that you have some services and some delicious nutritional things available and cute bunnies to hold? How do you connect? Do you door to door reach out, or what's your mission?
Really, all of those methods. We pass out round flyers. We go to door to door. Just hanging out in front where the baby bunny goes a long way. with the pandemic, people start realizing how fragile our food system is. At one point, they was putting restrictions on how many chickens you can get out of the grocery store and those type of things. And so people, like, really, the light bulb hit in a lot of our heads during the pandemic, like, hey, we should probably start thinking about some sustainable ways to do this. And it's numbers out there that farming and gardening really shot up there during the pandemic because people started realizing this is a way where I can be sustainable. I can get outside. And we just don't grow food for the food purposes. Creating your own food is great for your mental health. Being outside, putting your hands in the dirt, being around water being sprinkled, sunshine, and all you go a long way for your mental health. Being around small baby bunnies, all that stuff is great for the mental health. And the byproduct is creating these great organic produce. And you have this stuff for your family. You're not depending on the big stores to get them. It just warm up your heart, and it's contagious. So you do it, and then your neighbor will be like, oh, well, I can do it, or I can top that. And so I love creating those type of things.
Healthy competition. Because it's, yeah, like you said, the outside time in itself is a huge benefit to gardening and farming, and just touching the soil has been, like, shown to elevate and change whatever in our brain chemistry, right? And just sun alone and vitamin D is something that we're all perpetually deficient in, especially in wintertime. But you're providing that access and opportunity to also a therapy, right? Soil therapy of sorts for your community.
In terms of getting the word out, we really see ourselves not only recruiting folks to come experience the space, but really shifting the narrative around farming and highlighting and visibilizing that there's Black farmers here. We hear a lot of the stories of massive systemic land loss faced by Black farmers, but we have some dope Black farmers in St. Louis. Actually, I really found my way to Antoine because I was doing food justice organizing, working with students across the country on their campuses to get their universities to shift what food they source on campus, knowing that these institutions have massive purchasing power, although they were doing one big contract with the big food service management companies, Aramark, Sodexo, versus really seeking out those local farmers, small farmers, white, Black, BIPOC, whatever, in their area, and building their local economy. They'd rather do it easy, hire some company on contract to take care of all of that. So we were pushing to change that, and farmers and producers were always the reason I did that work, yet I never connected with farmers in St. Louis. So I was traveling everywhere and talking about it. I knew farmers in a lot of other areas, but nobody in where I resided. So I actually saw Antoine. We were Facebook friends, because everybody's Facebook friends in St. Louis, but he posted, there's some dope Black farmers in the Loo. And I shared that post. And from then on, I was like, I need to get to know this farmer better. He's out here saying how it is. That was at the beginning of the pandemic. Again, we've seen this massive popularity boost in this work. But he was like, we out here, don't get it wrong. And I actually sought him out, sat down with him, said, I know all this stuff about the food system and organizing, and you need me. And he said, I ain't seen you ever do anything for Black farmers or Black people in St. Louis. So that sounds lovely, but I haven't seen it. And that's when I was like, I really... Oh, for sure. And I need to check myself on that before I come in and say I know everything. But also, I do want to build those relationships and bring what I can and learn what I need to be effective as someone who lives in this city. So thank you, Antoine.
Thank you.
Dealing with me.
Like that accountability there.
Exactly.
What other farmers or neighboring gardens or neighbor network connections are most valuable to you that have been helpful in guiding you on your way, or people that you've met that have been impactful here in North County or otherwise? Like, who's like, or a mentor or anything like that? I'm just curious.
So a lot with Mina's help, I met these really awesome Black farmers in North Carolina. One of the farmers that she worked with before me, Operation Spring Plant, Mr. and Mrs. Barker in North Carolina. We look to them as mentors, really, really cool family. Have all the experience that we looking for. But I think that's one of our talents. We work with a wide variety of different farmers. We love working with those new and beginning farmers. We love working with those low to moderate income level families to encourage them, give them the things that they need to start farming on their own. But we work with a lot of different organizations, such as Urban Harvest, 13th Street Community Garden. It's a garden a mile and a half away from us. Brown Sugar Homestead is another farm a couple miles away from us. Body and Soil is another. The folks over at Skate, such and such farms. All of these people got great information. You follow them on social media, you can really learn some really cool stuff from these farmers. So really, we work with whoever want to work with us to pass the message around. We all about strengthening our local food system. So anytime we can pass on education or technical assistance to whoever, greatly appreciated. One of our favorite projects we're working on is right across the street. I don't know if you guys noticed, it's a prison for 11 to 20 year old boys. And they foster in one of our bunnies. I just checked on them right before. The mama bunny had some babies, so they got like 9 babies. And that project that's the ones that warm my heart. I tell you, one of my favorite things to see. So I'm born and raised in this neighborhood, and it can be a little tough. And so I sometimes have the gate open, and I see one of my buddies from first grade pop through the door. And sometimes these guys live a little tough lifestyle, maybe have a gun or maybe even some drugs nearby. But I throw a bunny in their arms, and to hear them say, that's one of those things that excite me, that keeps me going, knowing that this work is so needed, to see a big, tough guy saying aw to a baby bunny, or just seeing his big, strong hands on a bunny holding it careful. That's those type of things that make me know this work is so needed. But that project over there, putting a bunny over there with those students across the street, it went a long way to see those boys fight over whose turn is it to hold the bunny. That's what I love.
Yeah.
We help them put a couple raised beds in there. We give them some farming tips and expertise so they can create some produce over there. We in the course of putting a compost bin over there. They bring us their compost and that rabbit manure. That's one of those things that we always try to give to the farmers that we work with. It's a jar of rabbit manure. It's the best manure that you can use.
The best gift.
Yes, yes. So oftentimes I got to explain to tell these folks, I'm not disgusting by giving you this. I'm actually giving you a real good gift. So yeah. I got to explain it to them. But once I explain it to them, people love it. People really enjoy it.
That was cool. I love that you are helping provide some guidance through some plots and growing potential over there for your boys. You said what age?
From 11 to 20 years old.
Okay. That's great. Because I was like, well, maybe you're taking some collards or carrots or whatever in your growing season over there, but if they can grow their own, then even better. And that's really neat to hear. You're continually passing on the teaching and empowerment through growing, and just another reason to be outside, which does so much for us.
You mentioned that you have another plot of land that was just acquired. You said about an acre?
1.65 acre.
Almost 2 acres.
Mm-hmm. It's basically a city block.
And what's your plan with that?
We wanted to, so this place get a little tight sometimes. At one point last year, we had 200 kids running around in here. No kidding. That was like one of the last events we did last year. We had 200 plus kids in the farm. And so it gets a little tight. So we want to shift this a little bit. We want to make this to be more that recreational place so kids can come and hang out, learn. We just had this shed built, this 20 by 20 shed. We had an old greenhouse that we really didn't use the best way, and it was in rough shape. So we demoed that and built this nice shed, and it's going to be able to extend our season. Like, we able to hang out here in the wintertime now. We got a couple heaters here. We can warm it up really nice and hang out here, do our work from here. We can escape from the rain here. That greenhouse was not really good from protecting us from the elements. So we really want to change this around. We really want to have it so nice at a point where you can do a wedding here, do all kind of events like that. But you know, with the area, the 1.65 acre, we call it Madison Markets. We're going to start out small. I think in this May, we just heard today, we're going to get another really cool organization, Gateway Granny. They go by Seed St. Louis now. I think we agreed to put in 10 new raised beds and 2 compost bins over there. So that's going to be one of the biggest projects over there. Just to invite more farmers to the table, grow more food.
And then will CSA or community supported agriculture frameworks ever come into play, or is that something that you're just trying to teach people and have people over as more of a, now you can do this at home? Or is there a model that you would maybe migrate towards in the next couple of years? Or
I think so. Really, all of the models I think is good. All of the ways to farm is good. So a lot of here, I got a lot of elders who, as you see, we brought in a lot of raised beds. A lot of elders I talk to say, Twan, I want to come help you, but if I get down on that ground growing in that burn, I won't be able to get back up. And so I thought it was a great idea to bring in some raised beds so they don't have to bend over as much. But at the new place, we want to have burns. We want to have raised beds, lots of compost bins. Our vision is to turn it into a grocery store. But CSAs are on the table. Definitely we will. Our rockets, giving away fruits and veggies, enticing people to try new fruits and veggies the first time. A little sad story. When I first got here over 10 years ago, we used to try to give people in the neighborhood kale and Swiss chard, and they say, I don't want those white people greens. That's what people call them. That's why people consider them. And they was like, now, do you got some collards and mustard greens? I'll take them. But now we can't keep kale and Swiss chard here now. By educating people how to cook this kale, how to cook this Swiss chard, people want it. People love it. People enjoy it. And so a lot of the work we do is just educating people. And it's always easy to, especially for those low to moderate income families, if you can give them $10, $15 worth of kale and let them try it without spending their money on it, they're more inclined to try it. And so we always want to give away a certain amount of food. But yes, this farm was built off of our CSA. At one point, we had one of the biggest and the most dopest CSAs in this part of the city, probably in all of the city when I got here. And so that's always on the table. And to be frank, we got a big price tag on that lease. So we got to make sure that project is sustainable. But our vision is to really intercept a lot of materials that end up in landfills, usable materials, leaf, yard waste, food waste, all of those things you can use to feed our bunnies, bed our bunnies, and create great soil to build up the nutrients in our soil. And that's a great way to get everybody on board. I tell folks that you don't have to just put your hands in the dirt to be a farmer or to do good in your environment. You can conserve, reuse, recycle a lot of the products or materials that you have in your everyday life. And if you take them to the right place or give them to the right people, that's gold if you use those things the right way.
Could you, maybe you mentioned on our tour earlier that there's some things that you all could use here, maybe for anybody that might be listening in the St. Louis area, if you want to just mention a few of those items that maybe would go to recycling or into the trash or something that you all would like or be able to use here or at your additional property?
Mm-hmm. So always organic waste of, many things that we can take. uncooked fruits and veggie scraps. People with kids have kids who take a couple bites out of an apple and leave it around. Those things that our bunnies will finish that off. Cardboard, wood chips, leaves, twigs from your yard. All of those things are great for housing our bunnies. That's bedding, the twigs they love chewing on. That apple that your kids wasted is great for the bunnies. Yeah, we're in the process of creating a list of things to post on our Facebook and our webpage.
Excellent. Okay, thank you.
I would say kitty litter, containers, egg cartons. So our chickens and ducks produce a lot of eggs. And if we don't have a carton, we're like, be careful with these in your lap as you drive home. We always need egg cartons because we have eggs every day.
Excellent. It's chickens and ducks.
And we have this one really big goose. He's a bully, so we let him roam a lot. He won't mess with us, but the other bird.
Is New Roots a nonprofit, or how would you classify?
Yeah, we're a nonprofit. The land we are stewarding is a community land trust, so we do not own this land. We really love that model. A lot of our work is, I don't think we mentioned this yet, but we do a lot of policy work, policy development, specifically on a federal level. We've done a lot of work this past year around the 2023 Farm Bill that is essentially the big legislation package that happens every several years that going to tell us what farm bill programs are available to producers, how much money is going to go towards SNAP and EBT, and really what's it going to look like for producers, not only the producers that get the big subsidies, but us as small scale producers. We're basically micro producers in terms of acreage. And so a lot of the specific marker bills that we're pushing this year are to expand those traditional programs to meet the needs of urban farmers. So doing away with acreage requirements. We still need dollars to support our conservation efforts to remediate a lot of toxic and contaminated soil, purify the air, conserve water, manage stormwater runoff.
All important things. Very important things.
Yeah, but I think the USDA is realizing how essential that conservation work is right now. The EPA as well. Things are moving in the direction of valuing this small scale work because a lot of people are moving into cities. The rural farmland out there is consolidating really quickly. There's gonna be a huge transition of land in the next 20 years because farmers are aging out. They don't necessarily always have someone in the family who wants to take it on or is ready to do that. And so us stewarding land who are here for it, who want to be here for it, I think they're prioritizing us. We just have to get Congress to a place where they'll see it too and authorize the thing.
So let's say I listen to the story and I would definitely want to volunteer, but is there a way I could also donate to support, provide some funding for not only the growing side, but also the policy side?
Yes.
How would I do that?
Well, there's one, the ways you can logistically donate, but two, we really love for folks to tell us, hey, this is what I want my donation to go to. So if you're down for the policy work, our policy work is not only making sure our voice is heard in Washington, but also providing that education and awareness building of what this stuff even is. The stuff is all happening, whether we're involved or not. And so a lot of the work we do is we host at least monthly workshops. What is the Farm Bill? So Farm Bill 101. What are programs for small-scale farmers, new and beginning farmers, women farmers, black and brown farmers are under the socially disadvantaged farmers category, veteran farmers? What dollars are out there to support your operation right now? And how do you go after them? How do you enroll in those programs? So just sharing that information, because there's been several decades of that accessibility not being there and a lot of distrust between us farmers and these governmental agencies that not always did right by us. And so we're trying to break down that barrier, get people what they need, especially when those resources are available. So if someone wants to support that work, let us know.
We just go on to your website or?
Go on to our website. Okay. We don't right now have a specific link to donate, but there is a contact us form. So just reach out with anything that way, then we can make it happen.
Sounds good. And that website is?
NewRootsUrbanFarm.com.
Easy. Also, during the tour, I noticed there is a building just right next door that looks like it just had a very large historical church that just had a fire. Did that impact your operation?
Definitely. So Skate got a really bad fire in July of last year. It's an indoor skate park. It was a church abandoned for a while. As a teenager and kid, I used to play in that old church, but a group of cool guys got together a little over 10 years ago, around the same time as I got to New Roots, and really transformed the place and put an indoor skate park in there. Yeah, they got a really bad fire in July, and so they can really use resources now. So if folks feel open to it, I will definitely send them some love as well.
Yeah, is there anything that we actually didn't ask that you wanted to bring up or mention to the audience?
We can definitely use funding, hands-on in the dirt with us. But I want folks to know that they don't have to donate to us. They don't have to come put their hands in the dirt. They don't have to give us money. We love for folks to just come visit and hold the bunnies, hold the chickens, and just enjoy the sunflowers that's grown here during the summer. Enjoy the fresh air. Enjoy seeing kids running around, people laughing. This farm really cool. At certain points of the year, you can see so many different age groups and nationalities here talking amongst each other. And we really take pride in that. That's how you get information out faster, is collecting this different groups of different people. During the summer, we have a fire here. We have snacks here. So I don't want folks to feel like they have to give us dollars. They have to come and work in the hot sun to help us out. Really just come and buy some products that we have. Come by and just say hi, drop us a letter off. We love letters, diapers, wipes, pencils for kids, erasers for kids. Whatever you have an abundance of, we will take it and distribute it to the people that really need it.
Yes, that's excellent. And thank you so much. Where can people find you on social?
New Roots Urban Farm on Facebook and Instagram.
I'm team Facebook. That's team Instagram.
Right.
I'm the old person in the group. I only do Facebook. Mina does the Instagram.
Instagram is pop.
Yeah.
One more thing, I always really think about supporting local products. We're really big about that. That's how we're going to build the local food system, is by supporting small businesses and these really good companies that's really intentional with the products they serve. Milk and Honey Hummus. It's a wide variety of ones. I think that we really do a service by creating a list of different products that the cool people in St. Louis St. Louis is really doing some groundbreaking things. All you got to do is just look around. We creating some great products and services in St. Louis. I even hear how the USDA looked at to us as if we this pilot area, how urban ag going to shake up shape out in the next 20 years. And so they give a warm and fuzzy feeling and a lot of confidence to like, hey, we're doing great jobs, guys. Let's keep it on. Let's build on that and continue our work.
Yeah, words to live by right there. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks again to Antoine Adams and Mina Aria, co-directors of New Roots Urban Farm. Greatly appreciate you allowing the time for us to come out and have a chat, talk about your operation.
And thanks for letting us hold your bunny.
Yeah.
Still jealous about that.
Visit newrootsurbanfarm.com or on social at New Roots Urban Farm.
And reach out on their website. You can make donations or drop-offs because they are actively fulfilling needs in their neighborhood.
Yeah, stop by their farm. This is Tangled Taproot, a production of Milk and Hummus. I'm John.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Kristen.
And if you'd like what you've heard, please share, like, and review us. Again, thanks so much for listening. Send your thoughts to tangledtaproot@milkandhummus.com. And we plan to answer any questions and share feedback. Until next time.
Ciao for now.